Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We've launched a new website, and I hope you have just go check it out. It's But we also have our original website, lifeatvictory.com. That's for the general public, and so they can find out just the main things they need to know about our church. So this makes it very, very simple for you. So you can go to the one website for everything you need here, everything from giving to special events, and it's mobile friendly. And so also want to remind you, on your way out today, remember to pick up a magnet on your way out, and we want to encourage you to remember why this church exists. This church exists to help all people. Everyone say all people. That means no matter what they're dealing with, no matter what their issue, all people realize that God loves them unconditionally. And so we want to give you that opportunity. Take it home, stick it on your refrigerator. Also on your way out, make sure to pick up what I've written out for you are the things that I've been saying from late June that God has put in my heart to step into a place of raw faith over this church. And can I say, when I say over this church, that means over your life. Because God wants to do something amazing. And so I want you to join your faith with me. And when you go into your time and when you do pray, how many of you know it's good to pray? Yes. There you go. And so you could take this with you and just by faith, speak these out of your heart as well. They're available for you on your way out as well. So please stop and pick those up. And so I want to get into the final week. This is, some things have been rolling in my heart, man, just so strongly that I know this is going to be so helpful because it's practical. How to truly live out a life of raw faith. I'm not going to take time to give the full context, but suffice it to say, I talked to you earlier in the last three services about, I knew that I was missing it somewhere as your pastor, and I was on vacation, met with an older pastor, and not that much older than me, but had more experience. And he basically said to me, he said, John, you know, because I had talked to him about the building that we were about to build, and I said, you know, the church really hasn't hooked up with that like they have in the past, and it's not because of the people, Lonnie. I said, these are great people. They have a great staff. I know that somewhere is the pastor, you know, somewhere I'm missing it. And I said, you know, and I've learned that when I can't figure it out easily, to go get help from people. How many of you know you aren't meant to do life by yourself? You absolutely are not. That's why it's so important to get connected in your church. And that's why it's so important to get into a small group. Because that time with Lonnie was so important to me. We came to the conclusion, said, John, all the years that Victory has existed, 24 years from its inception to this day, did you do it because of your brilliance or all the resources that were given to you or all the people that lined up to help you start? I said, well, we didn't have any of those things. Certainly when the church started, it was Michelle and I and our six-month-old son, Ryan. And that's the only guarantee of anybody that was coming. And I said, but God has moved so amazingly through the years. And it came down to this. He said, so John, it basically happened through a raw faith in God. He said, this last time, did you do that? I said, well, and I hesitated. And he said, well, that's your answer. And what I really did was because, listen, I'm just being candid with you, is that this is an incredible church. You are remarkable people. And so the truth of it is, instead of leading you, I just simply said, well, you know, these are great people. This is not a large project compared to anything we've ever done. Just kind of rolled it out that way and talked to some other people, but didn't really, I wasn't in, if you will, in a place of raw faith for it. So he said, John, before you say anything else to the church, get back there where you know you need to be. So immediately I started to do that. That was June 30th. And the things that I'm actually asking you to take with you are the things that I began to say out of my heart before God that I'm believing literally over the future. And one of the main things was this. I knew God had called us to multiply over the next 5 years. I knew it. And I knew it wasn't just addition, even though God has blessed this church. It's growing wonderfully, but I knew he wanted to do a multiplication. And can I tell you that even after me in this Raw Faith series, it's gotten clearer and clearer to me what that actually means and what that really looks like. I'll tell you, there's something about having to honor God through a place of stepping into what looks impossible through raw faith. And so the minute I started doing that, people actually began to give toward the project. And I never said anything publicly. Because people, how many of you know, I'm not the only one that should have the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. You all have that too, don't you? You have him in your heart as well. And so God began to move upon people. And then about 20 days later, I showed you the video a couple times in the series. We won't take the time to do it again. I was at a meeting where a friend of mine who knew none of these things stopped and spoke prophetically. I don't have time to give that context. If you don't understand that, you can go back and check out those services before. But he basically said everything I'd been praying for 20 days. That the church in the next 5 years will eclipse anything in its history combined. Talked about the school that I knew we were going to launch of ministry to train the next generation to do ministry, that it would touch the world. They would go across the four corners of the earth. And in the middle of it, he said, and a next generation will be raised up out of your church and trained. And it was incredible. And I'm learning more and more the longer I walk with God, how critical it is to know that God answers the cry of faith, not the depth of the problem. Not how many people are praying, because faith is the only thing that pleases him. Because simply this, faith is the way where it demands that you trust his grace. Faith puts confidence in nothing but him. Faith refuses to look to any other source, but by the grace of God and by the mercy of God, you look to what he promised and you let what you believe about his goodness govern your life. And so I began to just pronounce out of my heart that this church will multiply in the next 5 years. But here's what I want to get to tonight. How does God actually do this stuff? How does he take something in the scripture, you walk by faith through the grace of God, and now something actually shows up in your life? How does God do it? I mean, you know, if I need help financially, is he going to get a German shepherd to go get a bag of money and drag it to your house? No. And sometimes people get so... They want to figure out that side of it, but I want to help you understand, and I want to show you there's five things that I was praying out of my heart, and there was a certain scripture I was going to go over with you tonight, and it was so interesting that when those five things came out of my heart and I overlaid them over the scripture, it was exactly what happened, and I realized that God wants us to have not just information but a revelation. Because you understand, we're talking about walking with the God of the universe, who has a unique and call upon your life for the work of his kingdom, but also for your personal life. Amen. It's important that you understand this isn't some religious thing. Well, step one, step two. This is about walking with the living God. But you need to understand that God uses channels to bless his people. He uses different things and different opportunities. And these channels are things that sometimes are very, very natural. And they'll require, though, if you're going to step into those channels, it does require that you trust God. But I can tell you this, out of every opportunity or channel, if you will, of what God would use to bring to pass either his promise in my life or his call upon this church, there's not one time that a channel that he wanted to use came into my life, not one time that an invisible wall of fear didn't come up and try to keep me from entering it. I'll tell you one that's pretty easy to tell you about. And I won't go into detail, but when the Lord put it in my heart, when somebody offered to give the church literally a farm for free to build the new church on, because we were out of space when we were on the other side of Cranberry. And I went to praying about it because it was free. And I just thought, God, that has to be your will because it's free. How many of you know free is a good word in the name of Jesus? When a church is, you know, there were maybe 400 or 500 people in the church at that time. But I knew the call was to be regional in scope. And God dealt with my heart. He said, I want you to trust me. I don't want, no, don't take it. Tell them no. I want you to trust me for the land Walmart wants. And I got depressed. I thought, Lord, that's the best land available. That can't be the, and so God began to put it in my heart to buy the church, to lead the church to purchase 64 acres. But here's what I want you to know. It didn't look like this when God spoke to my heart. It looked like this. And I want you to tell you, there was a huge wall of fear that came with that. That's looking south, northward. And everything you said, that's all it looked like. It was all trees. And you have to understand, I'm not a land developer. I've never built a doghouse. And I'm saying, Lord, you want me with nothing that I know? There wasn't the kind of team that's here today. You want me to lead this church to go buy $2.4 million worth of land and then develop it in Cranberry Township? I don't know if you've ever tried to develop in Cranberry Township. It is not a pleasant experience. I would tell you certain medical procedures, but it would be too graphic and I don't want to go there. It is not a pleasant experience. And I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm doing it. I'm leading it. So that's stupid. I would agree. But what I've learned about God is that he uses channels. And as a result, we stepped out. We purchased that land. And then I found, how about this? Found out it cost another $2.4 million to buy it, another $2.4 million to develop it. That means to move all the dirt, get all the roads, all the stuff before we ever build a building. That's $5 million. I'm thinking in my mind, y'all have a mind? My mind's saying, God, this is crazy. But do you know what immediately began to happen? God used the channel. But can I tell you, there was a huge wall of fear. Said, you can't do that. Don't do that. What if you fail? Can I tell you what I've learned in my life that's brought me through to be able to step out in raw faith time and time again? Is I think about when I'm going to die. I think about when I stand before God, what will I regret? And I, here's what I said to the Lord. Lord, if I'm missing this and I blow this whole thing up, I'd rather stand before you having been willing to make the biggest fool of myself on the planet than to stand before you and say, I let fear govern my life. And people that you died for aren't in heaven because fear governed my heart. I don't want to do that. I won't do it. We bought that land. And on the far northern edge where you see Penn Detroit Diesel today, they came and they bought that north piece. They paid us double of what we paid for it. And then they spent another $250,000 doing work that we would have had to do, bringing water under the high, all kind of stuff. I thought, oh, that was good. How many of you know double is good? You pay one and they give you double. How many of you know that's a good thing? God used that as a channel. You also need to know this, that there was a point when the church was being developed and everything was being written out, that our property was going to be right up by the light. And it was already through the township. I'm praying one night and the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and said, you've got that wrong. You move the church to the southern edge and you create a business park around that light. That's what I want you to do. We had to go back through the whole process. I called the person that was doing that for us, and a wonderful company. I said, we need to change it. He said, well, it's going to be hard to change it. I said, we need to change it. And we did. And then that piece of property sold for $3.35 million. Now, God used those as channels. Now, for some of you who have maybe the background where you work with those numbers and developing and all that, you might go, well, that's just good business. You have to understand something. Other than this, I've got Burger King. God uses channels. But here's what you need to know about fear. Fear will project the absence of God in your tomorrow. Faith will project his presence. And most people, I submit to you, most people live their whole life governed by fear, projecting fear into their tomorrow instead of the faithfulness of their God. God doesn't just use things, he uses people. He uses the channel of human beings. You see it in the life of Joseph in the Bible. When he was sold into slavery in the scripture, into Potiphar's house, the Bible said he found favor with Potiphar. And then when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of rape, they threw him into prison. But then he found favor with the jailer in prison. Eventually was released from prison because God used him supernaturally and found favor with Pharaoh and became literally the second in command of the greatest nation in the world because God used people as a channel to do something great in his life. I know in my own life, when we were wanting to move from where we were, because I don't have time to give you context, but I didn't, there was never a class in Bible school on being stalked? You know, they never taught us about that you could get a stalker and people would park in front of your house and just sit there at 10 o'clock at night, 11. And I mean, just in our neighborhood, would park in front of our house and sit. And it is kind of unnerving. And we had our kids were little and we couldn't let them outside. And it's like, man, we're like, will someone grab them? And it was just kind of weird. I didn't expect that. And particularly that time we were on television on one of the local stations. And I said, man, I've got to get somewhere with some privacy. This is crazy. And so, but I knew we couldn't afford it. But you know what? My one brother calls me And he looks at real estate all over Florida. He calls me, he said, John, I found these houses together. And what I want to do is see, do you want to buy one of these? I said, buy one. I can't buy one. The one I need next. I don't have any money. He said, no. He said this. And he told me this whole thing. Simply, he said, just because the way, that's when Florida was in a real boom. Long story short, in 1 year's time, 1 year, I bought it on, it was simple, interest only. 1 year. I never even saw it. I gave my brother power of attorney. He closed for me. I had a renter who paid the small mortgage. 1 year later, he still had the power of attorney. He put it on the market. He sold it for me. I've never seen it. I still have never seen it. I never met the renter. And 1 year later, it sold, and there was a profit of $52,000. That's more money. I never made that. Are you kidding me? God uses people. God uses people as channels. But here's the critical thing. Never put your faith in the channel or in people. God has to be your source. But see, sometimes if you don't understand this part of it, it just becomes very like, well, I don't know how God will lead you and guide you and use channels, use opportunities, use people. But it takes faith to step into those. It really does. And I'm not talking about being foolish. But I'm telling you, that's how he works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says this. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Say it out loud. We walk by faith and not by sight. Say it one more time. And not by sight. Here's what he's simply saying. As a believer, you are called to live your daily life by what you believe, not by your external circumstances. And I want to help you tonight to see, how does faith become sight? How does what you believe? Because here's the question people ask me over and over again, particularly people who understand the church world. They'll come to me and say, how in the world did you and Michelle in 24 years go from literally not having a microphone cable to now having a campus that just conservatively is valued at $25 million? And we owe, compared to that, I'd be thrilled to have that balance in my house. And most people would. How'd that happen? It happened because God's faithful. And what people are waiting for is for God to just show up and go, hey, I'm here. Now get out of the way and I'll do everything for you. Raw faith requires action. And what God began to deal with me back in the spring, right in through into early, late June, is that, John, if you don't get back over those things that I've called this church to do and you won't lead them through it, and it won't come to pass. And I had some repenting to do. Y'all know what it means to repent? That repent means to turn and go the other direction. It's not a negative word, it's a good thing. I want to take you into a scripture to kind of show you something. But before I do, I want to give you these five simple things that have to happen for your faith to become sight. Pastor Chris, would you grab me one of those waters over there? How your faith becomes sight. And these are the five simple things that came up in my heart. Thank you very much. It said this. It's simply this. You have the problem. Say it out loud. The problem. Say the instruction. The promise. The raw faith of obedience. And the provision. Now here's the deal. Every one of us, if you're going to receive something from God, whether it be in what you do for him, what you need in your life, what you fill in the blank. Anywhere the scripture gives you the will of God or God's led you in your life in accordance with scripture, is it always starts with having a problem or an obstacle. But then God, you'll see, and I'm going to show you the pattern very quickly. God then gives an instruction, and then he gives a promise. But then it requires an action of raw faith of obedience. And then you get the provision. See, faith becomes sight. Faith becomes sight. But if you're not, how many of you are like me that I want God to take me directly from the problem to the provision? Anybody like me? That's how most people live as a Christian. And can I suggest to you that's how most people pray? God, help us if you want to, but if you don't, we understand. That's how most people pray. Here's how they really pray it. Lord, we have this problem. If it's your will, help us, but if not, we're okay with it. Do you know, listen, there's times to pray, Lord, if it's your will. And the Bible tells you when to pray that. But it never tells you to pray if it's the will of the Lord, where the will of God is clear in the scripture. Let's make it simple. How many of you believe that Jesus died for every human being to come to Christ and not go to hell, but go to heaven? Raise your hand. Do you believe that? Okay, that's a good thing. So would you ever witness Christ to somebody and they say, I'd like to pray to receive Jesus. And you said, repeat after me. Lord, if it's your will, Lord, if it's your will, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. But if you don't want to, don't. Amen. How do I know if he came? Well, when you die, if he gets warm, he didn't. If you're happy, he did. You mean I have to wait till I die? You never know about God, you know. You never know, because if it be thy will, Jesus, save him. Hallelujah. Now, there are places you should pray if it be the will of the Lord. The Bible's clear about it. Don't you ever say, I'll move here and I'll move there and I'll do this and I'll do that. You say, no, if it's God's will, I'll do that. You don't make up your own. You don't get to direct your own life. You belong to God. I don't get to, hey, God, I'll get to do whatever I want whenever I want. And I just want you to come over here and just be my buddy and bless my stuff. No, that's how most of us see prayer. Is God, here's my problem. I hope he can fix it. Let's just wait and see. Oh, he didn't do anything. I guess he didn't want to help me. So most people want to go from the problem to the answer, but they leave out the instruction, they leave out the promise, and they leave out the raw faith of obedience. I don't want you to leave it out, because I don't want you to have some religious prayer life. I don't want you going on Facebook and say, you know, we need 2,000 likes. If we get 2,000 likes, then we know God will hear our prayer. God's not on Facebook. He really isn't. He doesn't answer Facebook posts and likes. He answers the cry of faith in a person's heart. And you'll see it from Genesis to Revelation. And his mode of operation has not changed. There was a man in scripture, his name's Elijah. And they called him Elijah the Tishbite. I don't know, that's just a funny name to me. I don't know, but anyway. He went and he's about to give a prophecy to King Ahab and his pleasant wife named Jezebel. If you know anything about Jezebel, this woman was a mean woman. In fact, you'll hear people say, even in modern day vernacular, she's a Jezebel, meaning like as a scary woman. He said, it's not sexist. She was a woman, okay? And she was scary. And Elijah's about to prophesy that God said, Elijah says otherwise, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And he goes and he stands in front of the king. He's about to give him this proclamation. When it's all done, Jezebel comes to her husband and says, let me tell you something. That man is dead. And the entire kingdom was put on notice. Kill him. How many of you know it's bad when the king and the queen want you dead? And everybody knows you got to kill. You kill this man or we're going to kill you. You hide him, we kill you. Now let me read to you what happened. I want you to see the problem, the instruction, the promise, the raw faith of obedience and the provision. And you're going to see it three times in this story. Twice to Elijah and one to a widow woman. The same process. Let me read it to you. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, remember he's the king. Here's the problem. As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, there will not be dew nor rain these years. It ended up being 3 years, except at my word. So that's now the problem. He just ticked off the king and the queen. They want to kill him. Verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to him and said, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the channel. That's the channel God would use. You hide by the brook Cherith, which is the channel. That was the channel God gave him, and that was the instruction. So he said, leave there, and I want you to go to the brook Cherith. Now listen to what God said. And it flows into the Jordan, verse 4. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. That's the promise. Now, wait a minute, God. You want me to go to that brook and kind of hide out there and drink out of the brook until everything, you know, because there's going to be a drought coming. I'll get water there. And you said, who's going to feed me? Birds. What do you mean, God, birds? No, I'm going to tell ravens to go get food They didn't, you know, how many of you know ravens don't cook food? That means they were stealing somebody's food. And they flew it to him. Do you know that a raven is an unclean bird to a Jew? Do you know that God will use channels that don't make sense to you? You want to talk about raw faith? Can you imagine sitting by the brook, knowing there's a death sentence on your life? You're thinking, okay. So just think if you had a cell phone. Hey, how are you doing, honey? Well, by the brook. What are you doing? I'm waiting for a bird to bring me dinner. But that was the promise. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and he stayed by the brook Cherith. That's the raw faith of obedience. Verse 6 said, the ravens brought him bread and food and meat in the morning and bread and food in the evening. And he drank from the brook. That was the provision. So there you see it. The problem, the instruction, the promise, the obedience, and the provision. And he was being fed supernaturally. But God used the channel of a brook and a raven. And I think it's so interesting to understand. A raven is just a dirty bird. It's an unclean bird to the Jew. God doesn't always have to use things that you think are holy. Somebody asked me one time, said, Pastor John, if somebody won the lottery and they weren't a Christian and they wanted to give Victory $10 million, what would you do with it? I said, we'd deposit it. I said, but would you accept it? I said, I'd accept it and we'll spend it. So that's not holy. The raven wasn't either. God uses people in channels. And they don't always have to be things you think are the best. Now look what happened now. After a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And now another problem. Channels don't last forever. Don't put your faith in a channel. Don't put your faith in a person. Even though God sent him there, it stopped working. And then he has another problem. No food, nothing to drink. And then verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. That's the instruction. See, I have commanded. Everyone say commanded. This is going to be the channel. A widow to provide for you there. That's the promise. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. That was the raw faith of obedience. Now here's the interesting thing. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her to him and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. She said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour and in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, myself and my son, that we may eat it and then die. By the way, that starts the problem for her. How many of you know if you're going to have your last meal and then die, you have a problem? So God, now listen, sends this prophet to a widow who has nothing except a little meal and a little oil, and she's going to make one more meal. She and her son will eat it, and she said, after that, we're going to starve to death. Now, if you're on your cell phone, would you not say, what are you doing now? The brook dried up. Where did he send you now? To this widow lady. Oh, man, is she a rich widow? No, she's dirt poor. In fact, she said she's going to eat her last meal and die. Look what he did. Now, this would get you on the news today. And look what happened now in verse 11. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. She said, is the Lord your God your lives? I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in the bin, a little oil in the jar. See, I'm gathering a couple sticks on and on that we may die. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Everybody say first. Guys, when I tell you this is important, listen to me. The prophet of God told someone who had nothing, put God first with the little that you have. And now, so we're seeing as the process of the problem, instruction, promise, raw faith of obedience and provision is happening through this woman for Elijah. It's the same thing happens for her. She, of course, she had her problem. She's going to die. And then we see that then God, he gives her an instruction. He and tells her, first you bring it to me, and then afterwards make some for yourself and your son. That's the instruction. Now let me ask you a question. If you only have enough for two people and one person eats, how do you have enough for two more? Would she not have had the right and said, dude, really? You want me to feed you, and then you want us to just die early. But look what happened. First, bring it to me. Afterward, make some for yourself and your son. That's the instruction. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour, which was the channel. God was going to use a bin of flour in a widow's house. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. That's the promise. So she went away and said, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. I'm going to just eat. You just take a hike, buddy. You're out of your mind. No, she said, it went her way, did according to the word of Elijah. That was the raw faith of obedience. And she and her household ate for many days. That was the provision for her and for Elijah. But listen to this. But the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the oil of jar ever run dry. That was the provision, according to the word which God spoke by Elijah. Do you see, you have two situations with Elijah, one with the widow woman, and you see the exact same process, where they both have a problem, but God gives an instruction, and he gives a promise, but then it takes the raw faith of obedience. And that's where most people let fear govern their life. And until you step by the grace of God, trusting him into obedience, in acting on what he said, you'll never know his provision. I don't care how well-meaning you are. I don't care if you're a good person. Can I tell you how many times people have said to me, Pastor John, so-and-so's praying for X, Y, or Z, and I know God's going to help them. I said, how do you know? They're just such good people. Pastor John, I mean, they're just the best people you ever meet. If God was ever going to help anybody, he'd want to help them. Here's what they really said to me. If anybody could earn the favor of God on the earth, it's them. But my Bible tells me no human being can earn the favor of God. Anytime you think that somebody, God did something for somebody because of their goodness, you've got it backwards. And that's what paralyzes most people. Because they think, well, I'm not good enough to have God move in my life. Well, that's true. But aren't you glad that he was good enough to rescue you and call you his own and wipe your sin away and call you the righteousness of God in Christ? And see, what most people are waiting for is just God supernaturally to show up and do something. But it doesn't happen that way. All of us have problems. All of us have them. But God's word gives you specific instructions, and me as well. He gives us specific promises, but then it takes the point to where will I act on it? See, in real life and in real time, this sounds great when you read it in the Bible. And by the way, Jesus quoted this in the first message he preached. The first message he preached, Jesus quoted this story. It mattered to him. It was the first thing he ever quoted out of Scripture, other than the Scripture he read that day. But for most people, they will live and die and never get into the realm of faith, ever. Fear will be their leader forever, or their own provision, or their own understanding, or their own thinking. But you're never going to live with eternal results. You're never going to live in supernatural power with human beings and just human reasoning and human strength. Fear is a terrible leader. It will keep you out of the best that God has for you. It will absolutely paralyze you. God has called you to live in a place where no matter what you face in your life, you go and you find out, Father, what do you say about it? And what promise have you made me about it? I will honor it and I will obey it. No matter what, I walk by faith and not by sight. I will honor what you said. And let God be true and every man a liar. And the Scripture tells you, it will come to pass. But you know what? It sounds simple. It sounds fun. It sounds, well, that's a spiritual. Woo-hoo, we're in church. But if you're sitting here today, and you're facing a mountain of adversity, and your feelings are screaming, it could be, let's just take a relationship. If you're in a marriage, it stinks, and you just can't stand it anymore, and you're, oh, Jesus, thank God for our kids, but man, I could just, Jesus, listen, I had one guy tell me, looked at his wife in a counseling session. This would be easier if she would just die. How many of you know that's a bad counseling session? But if you're really gonna walk out of those depths of despair in your life, if you're really going to overcome the brokenheartedness that you have, you're going to have to stop elevating it above the promise of God. You're going to have to start to say, you know what? I may have never seen what a husband looks like, but God, you said in your word, this is what a husband does. And you said, if a husband lives this way, this is what will happen in his wife's heart. And Lord, I don't know how to do this, and I'm going to make a bunch of mistakes, but I trust you for the grace that I will live this way, and I will obey you. And I don't care if my feelings scream until I have no voice left in my screamer, I will obey you. That's the raw faith of obedience. Until people understand that, they live absent the promise of God. Lastly, let me just tell you this as we close. There is a call upon this church, and the call is to multiply. But it starts with a problem. And the problem is this. We live in a nation that is so far from God, and a generation that literally is not just without Christ. It's a virtue to be without Christ. These aren't someone else's kids, guys. These are our children and our grandchildren growing up in this mess. That is the problem. And here's the other problem, that the hope of the world, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is asleep at the wheel. And what I want you to understand, that problem has an answer. And the answer isn't just, let's hunker down and hope to make it through. God bless my four and no more. You aren't called to just hunker down. You are called to reach the world. You are not called. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. He wants you to think this way. When I wake up in the morning, the alarm clock should go off in hell, and they go, ooh, they're up. Instead of like, oh, God, help me, bring me some trip food. Help me until I die, Jesus. People telling me, well, you're going to buy dried food? No. Buy dried food? Why not? Because I don't like dried food. Don't let fear govern your life. Be led, be wise. But here at the end of the day, look, that's the problem. But here's the instruction he gave to me as your pastor. Multiply. Period. He didn't ask me. He didn't say, hey, Burger King background boy, figure it out. He said, multiply. And you mark it down. God will give us the grace, the instruction, and we will do what he says to do. The channels of small groups in this church is a channel for you to multiply the purpose of God in your life. Everything from life, living in freedom every day, to what we call faith, life, training, learning how to live in the realm of faith. And I'm believing God, I'm proclaiming that 2,000 married people will go through the marriage small groups. 2,000 parents will go through ParentWise in these next few years. You want to talk about a multiplication? All the small groups in this church, God can use as a channel to bless your life. And I'm seeing so much more clearly that he's called us to help 300 churches in this region do just this. Can you see by faith with me? What would it look like if Victory multiplied here and we helped 300 churches in our region do the same thing? Can I tell you? That will change the entirety of the region. Because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And we are not called here to go hide in some cave. We are called, Jesus said, occupy till I come. You know what occupy till I come means? You kick the butt of anybody's in the dirt I told you to stand. That's what an occupying force does. What's an occupying force do? It says, we're here, we occupy, get out. You are called to be an overcomer. Not to be somebody hiding in a cave waiting to die. So just praying, oh, Jesus, just let the devil take a little of the pressure off. Man, half of people's prayers are to the devil. Just let's make a deal. He's not Monty Hall. He's called us to raise up a school of ministry. That starts next fall. He's called us to pay cash for that building and the subsequent two phases to get that done, and we're going to pay cash. So how's that going to happen? Through channels. Where are those channels? Sitting right here, a lot of them. So I don't know. One told me. Oh, yeah, sure he will. See, I'm not a fundraiser. I want you to hear God's voice. And God's going to lead people to do incredible things with their heart, with their service, with their finances. Because we're going to multiply the kingdom of God. And the promise I love this in 2 Chronicles. He said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. He's looking for someone to show himself strong on their behalf, whose heart is upright toward him. Do you understand God is looking for people who will trust him? Right now, he's doing this over the whole earth, and he's trying to, somebody trust me. Somebody believe how good I am. Somebody that's mine. Stop letting the circumstance be your Lord. Trust me. And that's why he said faith. Without it, it's impossible to please him. And he said, I will show myself strong on your behalf. What would your home look like if God showed himself strong on its behalf? What would the deepest problem in your life look like if he showed himself strong on your behalf? That's the promise. And the raw faith of obedience is to act it out. Do what God tells you to do with your life. Act on it. If you're a part of this church, I don't know what God may lead you to do. Many of you have already given very generously to that and continue to do so. Michelle and I continue to do that. I encourage every one of you here. Say, Father, what do you want me to do to get that done? He said, well, that's not very strategic. I don't, forget strategy. Why don't we just have people hear God's voice? I'll let you know when, as people do things, you mark it down. Listen to me. God is faithful. God will lead people. They will do small and great things. And when you put them together, we will get that thing built. We won't stop building, and we will pay cash for all of it. He said, well, that's just a building. It's not a building. It's a channel for God to use. That's all it is. That's it. But it takes faith to step into the channel. And it will come to pass, and we are going to see your children know God. We're going to see your marriages. You're not a parent in a way that you never dreamed possible in this darkening world. We're going to watch 300 churches do it right beside us. And lastly, let me say this to you. The raw faith of obedience fills his house. You see, Jesus wants his house filled. Let me read it to you in Luke 14, 23. The master said, go into the country roads. Now, this is out of the message. I love it. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. I wish I had time to teach you that whole parable. He said, I want my house full. If they have a pulse, get them here. That's Jesus. That's not somebody's thought down the road. That's not a secondary issue to me. He said, I want my house filled. Now, again, we need channels to do that. So let me give you a simple channel. It's not realistic for you to invite somebody to church every weekend. I understand that. But let me give you a channel, a simple channel. The Christmas show, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Christmas Eve. One show on Friday, two on Sunday, three on Christmas Eve. Bring somebody far from God to the Christmas show. Don't pray about it. Don't think, well, no, let's consider it. Step out and do it. There's a channel, and let's see 10,000 plus people show up during that time. Let's see 2,000 of them get saved. How many of you think that's a happy birthday, Jesus? 2,000 people go to heaven. Would y'all like that? I don't know about y'all. I think that's what he died for. Why don't we make that an important Christmas? Jesus, I'm too busy. I'll see you in January. Oh, by the way, happy birthday. Too busy celebrating your birthday to do what you said do. He said, I want my house filled. I want my house filled. So that's a perfect channel, and it's the simplest thing to do. Can I ask you a simple question? Will you obey him and go fill his house? And it isn't about a building. He wants hell plundered to populate heaven. Because there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And our generation is the only hope is Jesus and his church. And lastly, the provision. He said in Philippians, my God will supply and meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is faithful and nothing's impossible with our God. I want to pray for you tonight as we close this series. I hope somewhere inside you tonight, this hunger is beginning to grow. I don't want to just live an ordinary life. I want to live a life of raw faith. I want to know the power of God while I live on the earth. I want to know the power of God in my everyday life, in my home, in my problems. And I want to make a difference that will last forever. I pray that that's coming in your heart. Because if it doesn't, then you'll live, die, solve your problems, and you'll have made no eternal impact. Wow, all the while you could have made, lived a life, literally partnering with the God of the universe and live a fulfilled life to do what you were called to do on planet Earth. What an amazing way to live. I hunger for every one of us, myself included, to live this way. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice and those watching online. I pray that with every head bowed and every eye closed, that not one person would leave this place or the sound of my voice and walk away from a Savior that shed his blood for them. And so, Lord, I pray with every head bowed and every eye closed, if people are here tonight and they don't know Christ as the Lord of their life, or they're not sure, or their heart is far from you, and they want to know that you're the Lord of their life, they want to know that they have eternal life, they want to receive you by faith, and they want to live a life on purpose, fulfilling the mission that Jesus, you've called them to live with their life. Lord, I pray that tonight that they would respond to you with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this evening, you'd say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Just lift your hand real high right now, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. One last moment. I just want to take one moment and be sure that every person has that opportunity. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Listen, you can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand or should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. And as we conclude this prayer, please stay seated. I have one more thing I want to make you aware of. It's going to be so awesome. I want you to begin to have your heart around it. But let's pray that together with everyone who raised their hand. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.